Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the home of free speech. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send British sterling, pound sterling, I guess that's what you call it, or whatever currency, and then go to nationalbugle.com, download the Koshertified app, and start leading a non-kosher certified lifestyle. This is Tuesday. Usually Monday we have Mark Collett, but as it was a bank holiday, we have rescheduled him for today. He is here with me now. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here. It was one of those fabled bank holidays again that was destroying our weekly scheduling. It wasn't any kind of stunt that we were pulling this time. It was just a regular bank holiday. So nothing exciting, no light shows in Dover this time. Just a day in the park with my daughter.
And nobody flying off to the moon, which if you ever watch Wallace and Gromit's Grand Day Out, that's what they did on their bank holiday. They built a rocket ship and flew.
I have seen that. I think I've seen all of the original Wallace and Gromit. I'm sure they've made more since.
I don't know.
I have seen all the original ones. I don't even know if they still make them in the traditional way, because at the time that Wallace and Gromit came into being and they were originally huge, they were all made and animated out of plasticine or modelling clay, and it was a very, very charming and traditional way of animating a children's short film. I'm not sure if that's the way they still animate Wallace and Gromit.
I don't know if they still make Wallace and Gromit.
I have seen the Bank Holiday one, yes.
Yeah, the Bank Holiday one was the original, and it's the best movie of all time. Of course, you know, it's competing with other movies, which tend to be pretty much trash if you're talking about Hollywood. I mean, I'm from America. Maybe there's something that you've seen that's better than a Grand Day Out, but for me, that's the tops. But you did something pretty interesting with a projector recently. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, the reason I wasn't with you last week on Monday, and I had to keep it top secret even from you, is because for some time, myself and other key members of, well, members and supporters of Patriotic Alternative were heading down to Dover. We made the long trip down to Dover, and Dover's very important. I keep talking as if you'll understand what I'm talking about. Obviously, you're in America. But here in the UK, Dover is a port town, and it is the closest port to France. Mm-hmm. And the common crossing between France and England is the Dover to Calais, or Calais to Dover, if you're going the other way.
There is a geographic feature that is very, very famous with Dover. And what is that?
Yeah, the White Cliffs of Dover. But the reason this is important, and I'm sort of building to what we did, is because with that being the shortest crossing, it is a place where huge numbers of illegal immigrants attempt to pass from France over to the UK. They do this in dinghies, in small motorboats. Some of them attempt to paddle across. And at certain times of the day, you can actually see France from England. And at night, you can certainly see the glow of the Calais port from the beaches at Dover. Now, the other Monday, we went down, and we went down with a goal in mind. We went down because we wanted to make a statement, both to migrants making that crossing, or attempting to make that crossing, and to the government and the political establishment here in Britain. And that statement was clear, it was concise, it was to the point. It was migrants not welcome. And we projected that statement in absolutely huge, huge letters upon the White Cliffs of Dover.
Now, did you have to go out into the water for that, or could you do it from the beach?
Oh, we did that from, it was down, we were beneath the cliffs, and we projected it up onto the cliffs.
Mm-hmm. And how can people see the photographs of that?
You can see it on my Twitter, you can see footage on my BitChute, you can see promotional material produced by the lovely Laura Towler on the Patriotic Alternative Twitter and Facebook. You can see a report on the Patriotic Alternative website. And this was a huge stunt. It's been seen by tens and tens of thousands of people. It was covered by Russia Today. And we were obviously very, very happy with the results. Because we didn't just put up migrants not welcome. We had three rotating slides that said migrants not welcome, white lives matter, and then finally the Patriotic Alternative logo. And seeing that in absolutely massive, massive letters over the White Cliffs, beaming out to sea, so any migrants making that journey would have been met with that. We were very, very happy.
I think that's just great. I had a friend... a friend who was involved with Ron Paul people a dozen years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was. And when the Occupy Wall Street movement was going on, my friend went down with some other Ron Paul people. They went down in a van, and they had a giant projector in the van. And their plan was to project an anti-Federal Reserve movie or documentary from the Ron Paul people onto the walls of the Federal Reserve, right down there at Occupy Wall Street, the Federal Reserve branch there. I think in the end they wound up projecting it onto nearby bank that had just a better surface for projection. But I mean, I thought that was awesome to go down and do that. The Occupy Wall Street people didn't know what to think. And I think they wound up getting into a bit of, what do you call it? They had a some sort of debate session about it. And Occupy Wall Street, they weren't rioters. And they had, rather than bringing down mics and amplifiers, they did, I think they called it, what was it, the human amplifier? Somebody would say something, and then the whole crowd would repeat it, so it would be really loud. And they got into this back and forth where, and they also had the progressive stack. And the progressive stack means black people get to speak first, and then Hispanics and, women, and white men speak last. But none of the other people really had anything to say. And so it got down to my friend saying, he would say something like, well, we all have jobs to go to in the morning, and then the whole crowd would have to repeat, we all have jobs to go to in the morning, so you don't have to worry about us staying here too long. So you don't have to worry about us staying here too long. And I thought that was funny and effective, and it did get through to some of the Occupy Wall Street people who were not necessarily as indoctrinated leftists as what you're getting now with BLM. But to actually project what you did onto the fabled White Cliffs of Dover, I mean, you must have been able to see that for miles, leagues out into the English Channel.
Yeah, you could have probably seen it actually from Calais. If you're in the port of Calais, it would be likely that you could see that if you were at the right elevation. It was absolutely huge, and it's quite hard to convey how magnificent it looked, because when you're there at night, the power of these projectors is absolutely overwhelming. I mean, we were stood next to the projector.
And there was no moon that night? Was this, because it was kind of moonless that weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why we had to do it then. There's so many different factors to take into account, and one of them is the moon. If you have a full moon, and the moon is shining onto the White Cliffs, at the same time you're trying to do the projection, it just ruins it all. It would be like shining a light onto a cinema screen when you're trying to watch a film. It just wouldn't work. So you have to be very, very mindful of a number of different variables when you do these things. And we went down there because it was just a few days short of a quarter moon, so it was very dark. When we were actually down there, it was pitch black, so it made the projection even more powerful. And anyone who watches the footage, they'll see we had migrants in white, then a huge knot in red, then welcome underneath in white. And the red knot just looked incredible. The glow off that was just absolutely phenomenal. And I'm sure that anyone who saw it, or any migrants that might have been paddling over.
Could you imagine?
Because got the message.
I mean, given the constant stream of migrants, there had to be people in the water seeing that.
I would definitely say so. I definitely say there would definitely be people out there.
I mean, there's people coming over every day, every single day, right?
Yeah, they're coming over every day. There would definitely be people who saw it, whether it would be migrants, whether it would be people in boats, whether it would be people making the channel crossing legitimately. And we definitely know some people saw it because there was a pub underneath that particular piece of the cliff. And when we put the footage up straight initially, there was huge gasps and you could hear the people in the pub reacting to what they were seeing up on the cliffs. It was absolutely phenomenal.
And now, what kind of coverage did you get in the press?
Well, here in the UK, it was slightly disappointing because, unfortunately, what we've seen is pretty much a nationalist, a blackout on all nationalist activity by the press in the UK. And that's very, very disappointing. And there's very, very little we can do about that, unfortunately. But Russia Today did cover it, and that was quite good. I've retweeted that, so that's on my Twitter. But domestically, it seems as if the domestic press and the domestic media now have a complete blockout on anything that could be productive or could drive people into the hands of nationalists. And the other day, we actually got feedback on this because one of our supporters actually messaged the press and said, "Oh, I saw this the other night on the White Cliffs. I was absolutely appalled. You guys should cover this and expose these racists for who they really are." And the media wrote back and just said, "We don't want to cover them. They seem very proud of what they've done, and we wouldn't want to give them any more publicity." And I think that tells you all you need to know. The media, the press, they knew this would be popular with the public. They knew this was something that the public would like, that they would warm to. And as such, they have completely conspired to cover it up. And that's something we're going to have to deal with more and more in the future. Because I think now, nationalists are generally only going to get publicity if what they've done is something that the media is confident will turn off normal people.
So, I mean, and that's always been one of the points of demonstrations. So, yeah, I've been doing demonstrations for 50 plus years since I was a kid. And there were purposes before. There was always purposes. If you're talking about a march or something, part of it was getting people together because 50 years ago you didn't have the internet. Phone calls outside of your own local area were expensive, and it was a good way to network, which isn't necessary anymore because we can network over the internet. But another aspect was always to get press attention, and I was listening to a podcast of John Batchelor. I think it was probably a rerun from years ago, but he was talking to Pat Buchanan, the former presidential candidate. And what were they talking about? Oh, they mentioned in 1967 there was a group of people. I wasn't there that day, but I know people who were there who all joined hands around the Pentagon and attempted to levitate it. And of course, it was a stunt, and it was the levitation attempt was wacky, but it was a way of getting press, and it got press, of course.
Did it move?
No. But here's the thing. These people, we were all so low information back then. We shouldn't have been trying to levitate it because the Pentagon is built in a swamp, and it's actually sinking. And the bottom, it's got five basement floors, and the bottom floor and some parts of the building are unusable because, they've sunk into a swamp and they're leaking and all. So they should have tried to sink it rather than levitate it. That's what they got wrong.
That's a fantastic piece of information.
Well, I don't know.
I always think when I come on the show, I always get educated in something new, but that is absolutely fascinating. Is there nothing, I know this is a bit of a diversion, is there nothing they can do to rescue those parts of the floor then? Because you think with all of the money and mighty powers of the US government, they could at least find some way to reinforce the basement of the Pentagon.
I'm not sure. I mean, they could just continually pump it out, but It was a swamp. That was a swampy area where they built it. The thing was built in the 1930s, and to my knowledge, it's still the world's largest office building. It is immense. It's not particularly tall. It's 5 stories tall, 5 stories deep into the ground with basements, because, I don't know, they like to have basements. And then it's got the 5 walls, but it's got 5 rings. You know, it's got like 5 rings, and there's gaps between the rings, so they, you know, you can get ventilation into the various office rooms. It is absolutely enormous, and, you know, what are you going to do? And a building that size and that weight is going to sink. So, I mean, what are you going to do about it? So it's sinking, and the basement's filling up. So, okay, but this is great. I mean, doing things that get attention, and maybe it doesn't get attention in your own country because of a blackout, but Russia Today's pretty big. People look at that all over the country. But not only that, it's a good example. And I know people who have tried to do things to get lots of attention and, you know, to do something kind of outlandish or that nobody would have ever thought of. I mean, we had Patrick Little, who rented a blimp and painted a slogan on the blimp, and then rented a boat, or maybe it was his own boat, and he hauled it out into San Francisco Bay during a San Francisco Giants game. It didn't work out well for him because I think the blimp had like a leak in it or something. But I thought it was a great idea. But, you know, to do something original and attention grabbing, but then also to have the right kind of message. Because, you know, Patrick Little is a very, very brave person, but sometimes his messaging maybe is a little rough around the edges. But I think what you did is just a great example, and it's the type of thing that you know, people should be trying to emulate.
Well, thank you. I've got to say this, I do think Patrick Little is a courageous guy. I think that he gets a bit of a bad rap, and I think sometimes his messaging can be potentially not the kind of messaging I would use, but I do think he's courageous, and I saw his blimp activity, and I thought it was a very, very good idea, and he was quite unlucky that it didn't work out the way he wanted it to work out. And I think a lot of that was down to something with a blimp. There are a lot more sort of variables that can go very wrong than there are with some kind of light projection. Mm-hmm. Not least, I'm sure, that if you've got a blimp up there in a country where there are quite a lot of people with firearms, it could potentially be shot down, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose it could. But yeah, and Patrick Little, he is a brave Marine, that's for sure. He's completely fearless. So, okay. So do you have any more plans that you're able to tell us about?
At the moment, we do not have any more plans that we can speak about just at this minute.
Okay, but you've done some interesting things recently, like the whole White Lives Matter banners, right?
Yes. And we will be doing other stunts in the future. This certainly isn't the last thing that Patriotic Alternative will be doing like this. Whether it will be more projections, whether it will be more banners, I don't want to say at the moment, but we certainly will be doing more activities. And it's very important that we do these kind of things, because ultimately, there are very few people out there who are actually pushing forward with a nationalist agenda that is both eye-catching and doesn't end in some kind of trouble, because everything we try to do is carefully put together to ensure that none of our supporters are arrested, no one gets into trouble, there is never any violence, and we always think that's a really important aspect of what we are trying to do, to keep our supporters, to keep people who are associated with us out of any kind of bother.
Yeah, and you've done a lot of stuff. You've done the tabling, where people can come by and they take a survey. Yeah, and we shouldn't just be, let's talk about this in real life type of actions after the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
And we are back in... What I said right before we ended was, let's talk about in real life, what we can do in real life. And so projecting things onto the White Cliffs of Dover or to the side of the Federal Reserve Building, these are interesting things. Flying a blimp, if you've got all the bases covered and you got some luck, I mean, that's a pretty cool idea, too. The banners here and there. Now, and you've done the surveys, done all sorts of things, and we shouldn't be locked into this idea that you have to go out and march or have a rally, because in current circumstances, a rally in an urban center, this is not on your home territory, and a lot of the purposes of marches, like I mentioned earlier, have been superseded. You don't need to have people physically to get together in order to do the networking like you did 50 years ago. And I think we have to learn, what's effective now. You can't just keep fighting the last war, building another Maginot Line. Is that what it's called in France?
It certainly was. Well, that was the French defenses at the beginning of the Second World War, which were completely circumvented and rendered useless by the German assault.
Yeah, and so that, there's a problem of fighting the last war, and so much of the demonstration, the marches, the rallies, those served purposes 50 years ago. You know, we were all so low information, even into the 80s and maybe the early 90s. We were so low information because how are you going to learn things? And going to a demonstration, you'd always have people handing out leaflets and flyers and newspapers. And it was also a way to share information that you couldn't get otherwise or wouldn't even know to look for. But it's not like that anymore. So, and people do want to do things in real life. You know, we've got our podcasts and whatnot. But I know you're always getting on your podcast. You've got you take the what are they called, the super chats, and here we take the phone calls. And people want to do things in real life.
I think it's very important that we do real life activities. But I've said this many times: when you're doing real life activity, you need to think of real life activity in the same way that you would think about waging a war. And if you were waging a war, if you were waging warfare against another army, sometimes it isn't always best to announce your plans. And my big problem with any form of march or demonstration is these things have to be announced in advance. And this means our enemies, that are far more numerous than us, far more better funded, have a huge technological advantage, and often have the state backing them, know exactly what we're going to do, and then can prevent us carrying out the activities that we wish to carry out. And I think it's very, very important that we don't give our enemies the heads up, that we use sort of either some kind of asymmetric tactics or guerrilla tactics to strike when our enemies least expect it. And one of the great things about what we did the other day down in Dover is that none of that could be stopped. It wasn't stopped. It couldn't be stopped. Our enemies didn't know what we were doing. They didn't have a clue that this was going to happen. It happened. They had no answer to it. And we will do other activities like that. And I think one of the last really big demonstrations was obviously the Unite the Right mm-hmm. demonstration that we saw in Charlotte.
And how did that turn
out? I'm not going to dunk it. Sorry?
How did that turn out?
Sorry?
How did that turn out?
It didn't turn out well. But I don't really want to get into the idea of having a go at people who went to the mm-hmm. Unite the Right. And I don't want to have a go at them because I think the people there were good people. I think the people there went there for the right reasons, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, it didn't end well. Now, the interesting thing about Charlotte,
I'll just say, I really like Jason Kessler personally. I think he's very well-meaning and hard-working and deserves some credit.
Well, I don't know Kessler, but what I will say is this. The Unite the Right rally was sort of a tale of two stories, really. There's two parts to it. There was the night before the main rally. Now, the night before the main rally, you saw all of these activists turn up with these torches, and they did this amazing torchlit parade. Now, the left didn't know that torchlit parade was happening. The left didn't have a clue that was going to happen. And because they didn't have a clue that was going to happen, they didn't have any answer to it whatsoever. And because they didn't have any answer to it, it passed off peacefully. It looked absolutely phenomenal. And I remember seeing this footage coming out of America, thinking, gosh, I wish I was there. That looks amazing. That was like a real spectacle. Everyone was dressed smartly. The optics were fantastic. It was just brilliant. And then the next day was the exact opposite, because the left were organized. They knew that people were going to be there on the day. They turned up en masse. They had huge numbers. The police assisted them. The state assisted them. And the nationalists, I'm not going to say were roundly defeated, but the nationalists were on the back foot. Mm. And that's the big difference.
Yeah.
The big difference between those two events, which were all part of one bigger weekend of events, was that the first event wasn't telegraphed in advance. Mm-hmm. The second one was. And the difference is, a big event that is telegraphed in advance will get upended very easily.
Yeah.
An event that isn't advertised in advance will go off well and produce fantastic publicity material, and it ends up being a huge, huge bonus for recruitment.
Well, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Yeah. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And we are back with Mark Collett. We're talking about in real life events, and there's been some in real life recently in America, two examples, and I'd like to get your insights on them. There was the one example in Kenosha where you had some people from, I guess, neighboring towns, including this one, Kyle Rittenhouse, I believe his name is, a 17-year-old gamer who was from 20 miles away and went to Kenosha to help protect property, wound up getting chased and almost killed by Antifa before he I'm sure it was more luck than training, but probably some of both, wound up killing the people who were trying to kill him. You also had this case in Portland just a couple days ago where there was a in-real-life convoy of cars and trucks going through Portland, which is, you know, the most pro-Antifa city in America, and somebody got separated from the convoy and just basically executed. So what do we have to learn from these events?
I think we can see that in America there is at the moment a massive, massive polarization taking place. There is an absolutely huge polarization of the people of the American public. We are seeing something that is almost unprecedented. And the violence and the ill will between those different groups will only grow and intensify as we get closer to the November elections. I personally think that we have reached, potentially, a turning point that we can never, ever come back from. We've reached a point that the American public are not simply going to return from. The divide is too deep. And on one side, you have got Black Lives Matter, you've got Antifa, you've got the left, you've got these liberals, you've got people who essentially want white people to be second-class citizens. And there are plenty of whites involved in this. This isn't a race war, as people have suggested in the past. This isn't something that is just about the colour of somebody's skin. Skin colour is obviously important, but there is an awful lot of other ideological considerations to be taken into account. Generally speaking, you have, obviously, the race baiters, Black Lives Matter, etc., but you also have people who want the LGBT agenda being pushed on children. You want people who want open borders. You want people who want white guilt to be pushed against every white person in America. And they're all on one side. Then on the other side, you have people who are racially conscious whites. You have people who are traditionalists. You have people who are Christians. You have people who are sort of Second Amendment and First Amendment activists. You have people who are libertarian. And I think these two camps are getting further and further apart. And the fact there are such open outbreaks of violence and that the police and the National Guard either can't or won't do anything about them is absolutely stunning. And as we get closer to November, this is going to get worse. We've obviously seen the situation with Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, when something like this may have happened in the past, it could have potentially cooled things down. This could have been something which caused people to take stock of what was going on. This could have been something that caused people to back away from protesting. This could have caused the government to come in and put a huge great lockdown on everything and prevent the trouble escalating. But that hasn't been the case. This hasn't caused anyone to cool down. In fact, it's caused everyone to ramp up. And on one side, you've got people, and I believe this, that Kyle Rittenhouse didn't do anything wrong. The guy's a hero. He was defending himself. He was attacked by a mob and had no other sensible recourse other than defend himself in the way he did. And then on the other hand, you've got people who believe he is a murderer and think he should rot in jail or face maybe even the death penalty. And it hasn't cooled things down. It's stirred things up further. And now we have a Trump supporter who was taken away from a group of other Trump supporters who got lost, who got separated. He has now been murdered by the other side. And I think you're going to see an increasing number of tit-for-tat killings. And I think you're also going to see something which we're seeing here in the UK. When these things happen, or specifically when black people do something to white people, when you see at any of these protests or marches or demonstrations or riots, when you see a black person attacking a white person, anyone that says that's wrong will be met with a chorus from the other side that all shout, but did he use the N-word? What did he say to deserve that? And now we're reaching this rather bizarre situation where the left will actually justify the most extreme forms of violence simply based off the fact that a white person may have used a word. And this seems so bizarre. And again, it shows up another huge flaw in leftist thinking. Because the left wing for years have been saying we need more lenient prison sentences. They didn't want any form of corporal punishment for youngsters. They oppose smacking. They oppose the cane or any form of corporal punishment in schools. They completely oppose capital punishments and the death penalty. These are meant to be people that are against any show of violence or force to bring about change or to instill discipline. Yet all of a sudden these same people think that shooting somebody or beating their skull in because they may have said the N-word, mm-hmm. it shows a real hypocrisy in their thinking. It shows that they're not actually pushing any form of cohesive ideology at all. Because if you suggested to any of these leftists that a burglar who's broken into somebody's house, is taking people's possessions, is basically fair game to be shot at or attacked, they would say no. They would say absolutely not. But on the other hand, if somebody is supposed to have said a word that offends somebody, that justifies now, potentially, the lethal use of violence.
Right, well, and I mean, there are, unfortunately, legal precedents for that in America, but there's also so many white people in America have more or less internalized that, where they think, well, he did use the N-word, or, you know, so he was wrong too. So that's a real problem. And with Kyle Rittenhouse, he's going to weather this a lot better. I mean, he may wind up spending years and years and years in jail, but right now he's in a better position because the three people that he shot were all white people with criminal records. Now, a black person with a criminal record is still an innocent, completely innocent person. I mean, I don't think any of the people that Rittenhouse shot had a criminal record as long as George Floyd's. And then this Kenosha, Wisconsin, Jacob Blake. The police were called there because he was violating a restraining order taken out by a woman who's basically accused him of raping her multiple times, and there was a warrant out for his arrest. And when the police showed up to lawfully execute this warrant for his arrest and arrest him, he fought with them, put one in a headlock, and then was going to get a knife. And yet, still, he's completely innocent. And he's a new hero. And so, on the one hand, Kyle, you can look at him as having acted heroically. I think it was foolish to go down there. I want people to stay away from these riots. It's a little bit different if you're from the area, but he's from another town. Anyway, without diving into that too deeply.
Yeah, I want to second that as well. If you're going to these areas, I think it is a very, very dangerous thing to do. And although I believe that self-defense is very important, although I believe that Kyle was defending himself, I certainly don't think anybody should be going to these areas where this kind of activity is taking place, because potentially you are injecting yourself into a situation that could lead to the loss of your life, or in some cases, to you spending the rest of your life in jail. And I don't want that for any of our members or supporters. I want to be really clear on that.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel really, really strongly, like when I see the burning, the looting. Of course, violence and death of people is, the worst. But when I see burning down a business, I think myself, I work very hard. I do this, I do normie work. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm looking around my house for broken things to fix or something to make. So I'm fixing and making and building all the time. And for somebody, if somebody were to come and destroy things that I had spent all of this time and effort into making, that would make me furious. And so I can fully understand people's anger and outrage over the looting. Because the thought of these people just thinking that they have some sort of right to go and destroy the fruits of other people's labor and that it doesn't matter. I mean, that's just horrible. It's infuriating. But we don't want people to go down and put themselves in situations where they're likely to do themselves much more harm than any chance for doing something positive. And I mean, in Kyle's case, maybe things will work out okay for him. Maybe he'll get really lucky. but that's kind of hitting the jackpot. He may just destroy his own life and accomplish very little out of it.
I agree, and he is only a very young man. He's only 17 years old, and for him to spend maybe the rest of his life behind bars because of this would be absolutely terrible. I mean, this is the kind of case where I would like to see Donald Trump use his powers and, you know, potentially pardon this young man, because he was clearly acting in self-defense. One of these guys was beating him around the head with a skateboard. One of these guys was armed with a pistol and was readying it to shoot him. And they weren't nice people. They were sex offenders. They were convicted criminals. They were people rioting, and he did defend himself. But equally, it's very different to him defending himself on his front porch. He went there, and I wouldn't want to see anyone who was a listener of this show putting themselves in that kind of position. That would be very, very sad. And it always breaks my heart when I think that young people are potentially going to ruin their entire life over one sort of silly or ill-conceived decision that they really didn't have to make. He really didn't have to go there. And I do wish him all the best. I do understand people's frustration.
Hold on a second, please.
Well,
one of my worries is that there's going to be Kyle wannabes, that some people will look at that and say, wow, you know, I'd like to go shoot up some Antifa too. Because the people who got shot, I mean, I don't welcome anybody getting shot or killed, but they were, you know, not the type of people you'd want to take home to meet mom and dad, you know. But
no, they were bad people. They were bad people. But unfortunately, despite the fact they were bad people, I still don't want Kyle to spend the rest of his life in jail for dispatching them. And I really do want to be very clear when I say that I do not think that anyone should be going out there and putting themselves in that kind of situation. And also, and very crucially, there's a lot of memes on the internet that are making Kyle out to be a hero, and in many ways he is, but he's not a hero that I'd like to see people emulate.
No.
He's not somebody that I would say to other young people, go out there and be like him, because I wouldn't want to see anybody else facing the rest of their life in jail over something like this, because ultimately no good young person's life is worth that. Those people that were dispatched, the two people who died and the one that was shot in the arm, they were vile, vile people. But at the same time, I believe that Kyle's life is worth significantly more than theirs. And we do need to keep our young, talented men and women out of those kind of confrontations. We do need to keep people away from trouble. And that's something we try to do here in the UK. I was talking just earlier about how when we do activities in the UK, we try to ensure that those activities don't lead to any form of crazy confrontation or fights or incidents where we end up brawling in the street with Antifa. And obviously this situation has ended up much, much worse than that. And I just think it would be a tragic waste of that man's life.
Hey, I have a question. So these people who got shot, one, you know, he was the sex offender and all that, and another was a Satanist. And you got these sex offenders and Satanists, and I don't know about the third one, what was going on with him. They all had criminal records. And then there they are, out there supposedly, I mean, what are they thinking? Are they thinking that they're really doing something good? Do they think they're being so you know, selfless that they're, you know, and they're promoting the well-being of the African-American community? How do these people come about with their crazy ideas? What is this a product of?
What do I think it's a product of? I think all of these people are people who hate the West. They're people who hate Western civilization. They are people that want to see society fall for one reason or another. They want to see the collapse of America as we know it. They want to erase the traditional family. They want to destroy traditional life in America, and they want to attack what are traditionalist or good institutions. And one way of doing this is by attaching themselves to things like Black Lives Matter, attaching themselves to these riots, to these acts of mass looting and violence, because they want society to burn. And effectively, the flames are now alight, and these people are pouring petrol on them. These people are trying to fan the flames. They're trying to ensure that they bring about this huge collapse. And ultimately, they're doing quite a good job of it. And that's why you see such odd and disparate, often disparate groups getting involved. You're talking about Satanists. We're talking about sex offenders. We're talking about the LGBT. We're talking about black gangs. They're all groups that are opposed in one way or another to our traditional Western civilization, and they're willing to work together to bring about its downfall.
Okay, well, we're up on the last break. We'll be right back, and I've got one more question for you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And we are back. And Mark, earlier in the show, when we were talking about the Pentagon, whether it floats or sinks, I referenced an interview with Pat Buchanan on the John Bassler show. And Pat Buchanan, somebody who he ran for president in 2000 and a couple times in the 1990s as a Republican. He is remembered as maybe Ronald Reagan's communications director. He had been Richard Nixon's speechwriter. He's still alive. He's not even all that old. He's, I guess, 80. Is he 81? He's not that old. But he's been around for a while. And back in 1966, he hooked up with Richard Nixon. He was, I guess, 27 or so at the time. And became one of Richard Nixon's closest confidants. And as a speechwriter, or even before, I guess it was as a speechwriter, he came up with this term, the silent majority. So that was Pat Buchanan, the silent majority. And that's the question. The normies out there, what are they thinking when they see this? Because, I mean, you had 2 or 3 months ago, you had all these violent black riots, and you had these Antifa, who maybe people didn't understand because, well, it's right there in the name. They're anti-fascists. What could possibly go wrong? But, you know, they're turning out to be Satanists and child sex offenders and whatnot. But, you'd have co-eds. University of Chicago, they went down to the university police station to shut it down. What does the university police do? They walk girls home from the library at night. Is there going to be an awakening? How fast is it going to come? Is there really a silent majority out there?
I think there's a silent majority, and I think America is a particularly large landmass, and it's a place where people are very geographically separated, and that geographical separation also coincides with political belief system. So you have coastal areas, you have the seaboard, the eastern and western seaboard, which are largely overpopulated, full of migrants, very liberal. But then you have that central belt, which is still very white, it's very traditionalist, it's very Christian, and they're the sort of people who vote for Trump. And I think that come the next election, we are going to see this polarization grow. I think we're going to see the different areas vote just as they did last time, maybe more so. I think Trump will now do very well. I think all of this will help Trump an awful lot. I don't think this is going to go against Trump at all. And I think that you're going to start to see what used to be known as white flight, but it'll be more than that now, a huge geographical separation between these different types of people. And as this geographical separation takes place, there will be a lot of liberals who will be very worried, because the more clever liberals will realise that areas that adopt this nonsense, such as getting rid of the police, destroying public services, letting blacks run riot for night after night after night, that might sound good and it might please the mob on the street, but what's it going to do for house prices? What's it actually going to do for the quality of life in these so-called utopias that they're trying to create? And I think you'll end up seeing the utopias being the majority white areas that have held on to their police force, that have held on to their traditions, that are still going to church on Sunday. And it's going to be a very, very big divide between these urban hellscapes and these traditionalist heavens. Okay. And I think that that will be a bad thing for our enemies and a good thing for us.
Well, Mark, we might not have solved all the world's problems, but I think we got off to a good start. Who's your guest this week on Patriotic Weekly Review?
Mike Enoch is returning away to talk about the National Justice Party.
Well, that's certainly worth watching, and you'll have to tell us about it next week. And until then, I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.